Hey, welcome to the Meat House. Jeff here.
And hey, Chris here. Welcome me back to the Meat House. This is kind of nice. I'm really enjoying my time here.
Yeah, we are hanging out. It's, you know, it's another Saturday. We're having some meat and just chilling, relaxing. We are well into October now.
Yeah, we've broken into October.
It's about what now? By the time this is released, we'll have about 3 weeks almost on the dot to Halloween, which means it's a great time to talk about Christmas, right?
Yeah. We're perfect. There's going to be a suit. My wife may take offense to that personally because she hasn't finished with Halloween yet, but she starts in June. So,
granted, Costco, Michaels, the handful of other stores, they're all putting out their Christmas stuff starting like late August.
Yeah.
So angry about that. That's.
It's always
Halloween
been a gripe.
Needs its moment.
Hell, Thanksgiving needs a moment.
Right. Granted, you don't need as much stuff for Thanksgiving as you do for Halloween. But yeah, give some turkeys and pumpkins their spot on the shelf, guys. Come on. Anyway.
Enough griping. Mead.
Right. We need some time to think about what we're going to make for Christmas. And hey, 2 months and some change?
Yes.
Best we're going to do, right?
Best
we're going to do. So, before we get into all that, though.
Box and Barleycorn.
Yes. Box and Barleycorn have been our sponsor for, well, basically since January. Since we got this thing back up.
Yeah, we started doing this.
We're approaching a year now.
And I look back, I'm sitting here, I've gotten so much, and I didn't realize I didn't have that much to talk about.
Yeah.
I'll be blunt.
Yeah.
I mean, this is coming from me.
Well, and this is the perennial thing. We have the entire week running up to this. Hey, what are we going to talk about this week? Sometimes we have a clear idea. Sometimes we have a list we're going through. And sometimes it's like, hey, what if we do this? Didn't we talk about that 4 weeks ago? Oh, yeah. What if we talk about this? Isn't that just a rehash of the same idea we did 3 weeks ago?
Maybe, but, you know, we still have meat to talk about, need to try, so it's not a bad thing.
Right.
Even if we rehash.
At the end of the day, we find new topics to talk about, we find interesting things to talk about than the topics we've covered before, and we find more mead to open up and drink. So, you know, could be worse. Could be a lot worse. The other folks, hey, before we get to the other folks, we have to thank those of you that are listening. To... This podcast.
Yeah, the Meat House. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We could talk, like we've said many times, but we could talk to us between each other, but it's a lot more fun with more friends around.
Exactly. And the fact that we are getting more and more listeners every week, the fact that we are getting emails and comments and, you know, even the Facebook comments on the episode drops post kind of stuff, like, oh yeah, this was an interesting topic and I'm so fascinated. And like, I can't wait to just put this on in the background while I'm driving so I can hear what you guys have to say about X, Y, or Z.
There's a lot of exercise here. Yeah, it's very gratifying.
There are a number of little tangents we take on our topic that are usually meat related.
But, you know, I'm not apologizing because that's what we do.
You get a little color commentary with your meat talk here. So
yeah, I haven't popped the bottle yet, man. Come on.
Oh, my God. It'll be okay. It's been a long day, and I've only had one cup of coffee today, man.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, you can always find us on Facebook, The Meat House. Or on meathouse.com.
Right.
But we're also on a dozen other sites now, which is awesome. We're on Amazon, Apple, Pocket Cast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Deezer, Podcast Addict, Player FM, Podchaser, CastBox, Good Pods, and Podcast Index. Wherever you are, give us a like, give us a rating. You know, we prefer 5 stars because we're pretty awesome. I mean, I'm not going to break bones here, but you know, we're pretty good about this.
I know that there are some people out there that are like, I'll rate everything that's good a 4-star because 5 stars should be exceptional. Can we just be exceptional for that rating?
Just for a little bit. This is a very short portion in our week. We would like to be exceptional at least once.
Yeah. No, as far as the algorithm pushing this out to other people goes, it really looks for exceptional. So I would love an exceptional rating.
Yeah, it would make me feel so much better.
You know, Chris, it did occur to me, though, we did forget something when we were thinking Box and Barleycorn, and that's the promo code.
The promo code is so important. Let's see if I get it. It's MHP10.
You got it right.
No.
Is this 5 weeks in a row?
5 weeks in a row now, man.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Can this man be defeated? I don't know.
Oh yeah, I can. I am defeatable. I am so defeatable. I am. There's no ego there.
Well, let's open up this bottle of wine and get a halfway through, and you know, defeatable will be a very achievable level
goal. Now, what we got today is my personal pomegranate mead I've made. That I made it back in March.
Okay.
And it's, for me at the time, it's kind of low. It's like 12 and three quarters percent.
Okay.
And here we go.
So how do we get pomegranate into the mead? Did you use a pomegranate juice? Did you use the, like, whole fruit and, like, do the whole... The pomegranate is a messy fruit to clean up. And
yeah, it's... It would have scared me normally, but I happened to come across a sale at Costco for 100% pomegranate juice, the palm juice they had.
Okay.
They were getting rid of excess stock, and they wanted to get it out before it was really bad. I took it home and started it that night. So it wasn't going to get any better or any worse than it was right there.
That's fair. So we've got, as far as color goes, it's not red. It's kind of a burnt orange color, which, you know, that...
And it's hazy.
Yeah, it's a little hazy. There's some stuff at the bottom of the bottle that, you know, it is clearly settled after it fermented.
And yeah.
We're home mead makers. That's understandable. I don't know if you find this at all, if you felt the need to find it. But
no, I did filter it previously before I put it in the bottle, but I only put it through a number one filter.
Okay.
I didn't make a big deal. But, you know, I wasn't really mad about just having it as it is. So the it's a very subdued smell to me.
And it looks like we got a little bit of bubbly stuff in suspension here, too. So I wonder if it did, you did stabilize it.
It stabilized it.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't really tell you about the bubbly stuff because I don't know why that happened. Maybe it didn't stabilize it quite enough.
But it might just have been bubbles from the pour and it's kind of settling out, or it might be something that's kind of.
Oh, tart. It hits the tongue hard. I don't smell a lot in the fragrance. I smell, I don't want to be vague, but I don't know how to do it. Otherwise, it's, I smell something.
Yeah, it is a fruity kind of flavor and a fruity kind of smell. I don't know that I would put pomegranate on the needle here as far as like what I'm tasting, but it tastes kind of a red fruit flavor, a little bit jammy. And to be honest, like you dig. You get grenadine from the supermarket or from the liquor store to add to a cocktail. I don't equate that to pomegranate either.
Yeah.
It's kind of a just a red fruit jammy. For the longest time, I thought that was cherries, to be honest.
Yeah, me too, I'll be honest. Till I went to actual bartender training, I thought that grenadine was cherries, but it's not. It must be pomegranate.
Yeah.
But this, like Jeff said, it's not pomegranate flavor. It's a bit, it hits the mouth kind of hard. It's kind of acrid.
It does have a little bit of tartness to it, and it does have a little bit of heat to it. I wonder if it didn't ferment a little hot, and you're getting a little bit of fusel in it. But it's not undrinkable by any stretch.
But, I mean, not my best work. I'm going to get better at it. But I can drink it.
Yeah. It's...
Jeff, no holes barred, pure honesty, what do you think of it? The bomb.
If I had to give it a rating on a 1 to 10, 1 being lowest, 10 being highest, obviously, I'm going to say 6.
Okay.
It's not...
More than fair, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I would have given it a solid 4.5, but I'm a lot harder on myself than most people are, to be honest.
Any good artist is harder on themselves than the average person is on them, yes. That's...
But, like you said, it's drinkable, but I need to work on it.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, man.
And this is my first chance, my first round with pomegranate. I don't think I'm going to go to the actual fruit itself because I think the juice
feels like a lot of work.
Yeah. And I don't feel like it. I'm not feeling to put that much effort into making my mead for that.
Realistically, you got pomegranate juice that they were getting rid of because they were afraid it was about to go bad.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit fresher pomegranate juice or a better brand of pomegranate juice would yield better results.
Yeah, we'll give it a try. You know,
you have to start somewhere.
Yes, but this is my first venture, and I'm not mad about it. So we're going to Christmas stuff today, and you know, like we said, it's like second week of second Thursday of the month here.
Right. Yeah, this will be dropping around the 10th of October, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
so yeah.
Thursday, Friday. Thursday's the 9th, too. Yeah. Of course, we're looking towards Christmas now. What a great segue there. Yeah.
Well, you know, we covered Halloween in September, so we're getting a little bit, we are getting a little bit more advanced notice than we did in September for Halloween,
Yeah.
I guess.
So, guys, honestly, not enough time still. But
Yeah.
here we go. December is very, very specific in its quote unquote taste or flavor, especially when you're making meat. Now, we can do things like sugar plums, which is just mostly sugar and fruit flavor, which is any kind of flavor you want. We've done that innumerable times with honey and fruit. We can do spices, the mints and the things of the season. What we're talking about today is braget. For right now, we're going to talk about a braget.
I have a braget recipe for you guys. And you know, back when it was me and Ryan and JD, there was a lot of discussion about braget because we were all braget fans on that
That makes three out of four right now.
well. And actually, if you go through the long term, I know our previous co-host Aaron was also a big braget guy. I think he introduced braggets to the group as a whole. So
Four out of five.
Oh,
Okay.
well, four out of six, because we have to talk about Mississippi Chris, who is not the same as Kansas Chris.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we need to differentiate Chris's at this point
The
because
odd man
Chris is
out
here.
is me. And that's okay.
Not a braggart fan, but that's okay.
Well, I'm just not a hops fan, so.
Well, and I think another thing we need to look at some point in the future, we talked in that historical meats episode about things other than hops that are things we can add to beer that give it that bittering character that hops do. The things that we would normally throw into what's called a gruit these days, which is a beer made from things other than hops. That's like a gruit braget is something we should probably be exploring too, for the sake of just, getting a beer that Chris can drink for one, and
That would be awesome. I mean,
having
I
a
the
let's
taste of beer does not offend me. The fact I can't see straight after four drinks kind of does.
yeah well and that idea of making a gruit braget, we got a leg in the historical side, we've got a leg in the braget side. That's just a fun little, let's do that. So
I'll write it down for a future episode.
yeah,
But right
we'll
now,
put that on the list. But for right now,
We're talking about Christmas flavors in a braget or a mead.
yeah. And in this case, we hit on the idea of a braget because, this is the weather getting colder, and it's that time of year. We're getting into stout season. We really are. The dark beer, I'm not afraid to make this a little bit higher on the ABV, and we've teased this a couple times when we talked about some
Even last week, we
Christmas
talked about
making.
16, but
Right,
that's.
yeah. I don't think we're going to go 16 because we are using a beer yeast here, and they don't have the alcohol tolerance of a champagne yeast. I would rather have that beer character from the yeast than the alcohol content. But yeah, no, we're going to take this idea of making a Christmas braget, and we're going to add some more meaty sides to it in addition to all the grain. But we got to start with grain because the idea of brewing a beer, that beer part is the most time-consuming bit.
You literally boil the grain.
You boil it after you've done a few other steps, to be honest.
Okay, this is not something I do, so I'm gonna leave it in your hands here,
Yeah,
man.
yeah. So let's break this recipe up into a few different parts. The first thing we need to talk about is called the grain bill. That's just the grains that we're going to mash and sparge and they don't get boiled. They're separated from the water we boil. But yeah, you know what I mean.
Okay. No, I don't actually, but go for it.
We're going to start with our base malt, which is the main source of beer-related sugars, so to speak. I know it doesn't taste sweet, but this is the sugar that we turn into the alcohol in beer. We're going to use 8 pounds of Maris Otter. Maris Otter is a nice, kind of a bready, nutty English beer grain. It's one of my favorites to work with. It's an easy one that it gives you a lot of flavor and content. The other thing we could do if we want to do a partial mash instead of a full all grain, we could substitute this, just forget about this, and use 5 pounds of Golden Light dry malt extract. That will give us the same ABV contribution. It won't be quite as like some of the special alternate notes you get from the Maris Otter, but it'll still be close enough to win. Then we have our specialty malts, or our flavor malts, or our contributions there. We're going to add 1 pound of Carafa 3. Carafa 3 is a very darkly roasted malt that's going to give us some of the roasty character. It's going to also give us a lot of that dark stout color that makes stouts look like dark brown to black. We're going to get a lot of that from this guy. We're going to have 1/2 pound of chocolate malt that adds kind of some of those dark cocoa notes that are going to be playing nice with the whole stout flavor profile.
Now, does chocolate note your chocolate grain you're talking about here, is that part of the grain flavor or is that something you add to it?
That is a particular type of grain that has been roasted to a specific temperature that has flavors reminiscent of like Dutch processed cocoa, essentially, that
Okay,
chocolatey,
this is new to me, so I'm going
right?
to ask
Yeah.
questions.
That unsweetened chocolate flavor you get if you're just like if you're tasting like the powdered cocoa you would use for baking and you're not adding sugar or butter or anything like that kind of a dark chocolate flavor is what this chocolate malt is going to promote.
Right.
Another thing we're going to add is 1/2 pound of special roast. Special roast is it's
That
a
sounds vague.
it sounds vague, and I don't know if there's a better name for it, but it is a very appreciably complex roast malt that I enjoy quite a bit. It has a very rounded and broad profile of different kind of roast notes
Okay,
to
if
it.
I asked, went to Bacchus, asked for a special roast, is that something they'll do? Yeah, here it is. Bam.
Yes, they know what it's talking about. For the
Okay.
longest time, when I was working there, back when Alberta was still around, she had a little like a little tasty glass just full of the special grain malt so that people could reach in and grab a couple like little grains and put it in their mouth to taste. Because it is an intensely interesting roast complex flavor. I like it a lot.
Okay, I mean,
So we're using it here.
that's what I say. It sounds vague, but if it's actually a particular thing, I didn't
Yes.
know that.
Special roast is a thing.
Okay.
Just ask for it. Another thing we're going to add 1/2 pound of is Crystal 80. This is another one of those roasts where they've turned up the heat a little bit to get a roasty character to it. This is going to add a little color. This is going to add a lot of flavor. The crystal malts have a broad range. For those of you that are not beer enthusiasts, beer brewers, they go from like a light 15 Lovibond on the scale to 120 level bonds. So the 80 is mid to high, and we're
That
going to.
sounds like a lot to me. I mean, just hearing it.
Yes, this is a color scale. This is also a flavor contribution thing. So this is giving us some moderately roasted notes to it. It's not going to taste burnt, but it's going to have a roasty character. It's going to provide again some of that brown to the color. It's all in that kind of ballpark that we're adding different things to contribute different interesting rounded notes here. Beyond that, we're going to ha add 1/2 pound of carapils. Carapils is it's less about the flavor of the beer so much as the mouthfeel and the ability to retain like some of that pronounced head at the top when it's poured. This is going to give us some of the protein structure that's going to give us a nice bubbly but firm head that will last for a while. And this is going to give us a little bit smoother, easygoing mouthfeel when we drink it. Carbonated,
Okay,
obviously.
gotcha. Oh, yeah, it has to be carbonated.
Right. The last addition we're going to add is 1/2 pound of honey.
This is where we're getting our the honey bee blend here.
A little bit. We're making a braggot. My cheat anytime I make a braggot is to add 1/4 to 1/2 pound of honey malt. It's just a malt that has been roasted that has a particular honey-like flavor. You're making a braggot. There's honey, there's malt, mix.
Okay.
I mean, there is, it's a cheat code, obviously, but it's a cheat code everybody acknowledges you should do. You just add more honey flavor to the braggot.
Is there actual honey in a braggot?
Yes, we're going to add honey as a fermentable sugar once we're
Okay.
done brewing the beer, but the honey malt flavor will just enhance the honey flavor altogether.
Okay,
It's just
excellent.
adding a little nudge towards that scale.
I am unfamiliar with beer in general. You've shown me a little bit here and there.
Right.
But my retention is
Such is the way of things. And you not to be, glib about it, but you don't give a shit about beer, and I can't expect you to,
Yeah, no,
because
it's not something I can have. I enjoy.
right, yeah. So why should you know the ins and outs of how to make it?
A bracket, however, my wife loves a good lager, I'll be honest. She does a nice thick double Brocken lager. So
I've been playing with like Bock's and Marzen's, and the a nice Maibock would be a killer. But
after the honey malt, what we've got now.
that's it for our grain bill.
How many grains is that? Just for out of curiosity.
That's seven different grains, and that's a total of 11.5 pounds of grain, which is a little bit high for an all grain. If you guys want to do just the specialty malts, which is 3.5 pounds, not the Maris Otter, on a 3 gallon stock pot on your kitchen sink, and then add some dry malt extract and the extra water, once you get into the fermenter stage, more power to you.
Okay.
This is an approachable thing that I want people to be able to work with. And maybe we should talk to Jake about this being available on Bock's and Barleycorn's website as just a kit.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. I mean,
I don't know that they can offer you like the dried figs and the other stuff we're going to be talking about in later stages of this fermentation, but just the grain bill by itself and some hops, that's easy enough to put together and mail to anybody that asks for it anywhere in the country, right?
there you go, So there you go. You can actually get an actual recipe if we can talk Jake into it,
Yeah,
if,
well, hopefully between when we're recording this on a Saturday and when the episode drops on a Thursday, one of us can make it in there and give him a buzz or something, and we'll see. I mean, we got some time.
Jake is not, he's not unagreeable.
Yeah. Worst case, we can leave the recipe there with him, a copy of the recipe, and you can call and say, "Hey, I want the Mead House Sugar Plum Fairy Braggot recipe," and
And
he'll get
he
that
knows what to do. He can
sorted.
put it together.
Right, yeah, they'll have that behind the counter to look at, even if it's not up on the website for you to order online. Sorry, you have to call and actually interact with another human being. I hate it. We all hate it, but
I don't.
yeah. Well, okay.
I'm a freak.
Anyway, in addition to the grain, by the way, we're going to mash at 156 degrees for 60 minutes. And this is going to give the enzymes time to break down all those starches in the grain into sugars that the yeast can handle. After that, we're going to sparge. Sparge is generally 174 to 178 degrees. And this is basically just hot water or heating the water and running it over the grain to separate the sugars in the grain and get them dissolved in the water.
Okay, fair.
Then you.
You caught me, beat me to the questions, but
Right,
go on.
right, right. I'm trying to. I know your understanding of the process is a little bit vague at
Non-existent, yeah.
best. Yeah. Once we've got it sparged, the sugars into the water separated from the grain, we're going to lift the grain, let the grain drag, let the grain drain.
Drain.
There are a number of people that will debate endlessly whether the grain bag should be drained, but not squeezed, or just squeezed.
I don't think it make a lot of difference in the income.
I squeeze because I want more of the alcohol come out, or I want more of the sugar and the good stuff out of it.
And that's what I would do too,
Some
for
people
that same
say that
reason.
they get bad off flavors from it, but that's never been my experience. I've never had that.
If you're adding hops to this, does it matter that much? Honestly, it's a bitter taste
I
either
don't
way.
want to hear your anti-hop rhetoric from this.
Sorry, I'll stop now.
Yeah. Behave yourself, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of hops, when we get to the boil, we're going to boil this for an hour. And the first thing we're going to throw in there, this is a stout, so there's not a lot of hop character to it in the first place,
Oh,
right?
good. Yeah,
Yeah.
I like this even better.
Well, this is a little bit more agreeable. The first thing we're going to do is throw in an ounce of Northern Brewer for our bittering hop at 60 minutes. That's going to be the whole 60-minute boil. We're going to have this hop in there. What this is mainly for, the hop alpha acids, those are going to isomerize. The heat is going to fold and twist those into bittering agents. And so Northern Brewer is a nice choice for this because it's a moderate hop in the first place. It's a moderate alpha acid hop in the first place. It's not going to be super bitter, but it's going to give us some bitter character. There are also some woodsy notes to this that play well in stouts and go nice with the grains. And then at 15 minutes left in the boil, the last 15 minutes of the boil, we're going to add half an ounce of Fuggles. Fuggles are a traditional English hop. They're a little lower in the alpha acids, but they have a nice kind of a little herbaceous, a little floral character to them that is going to give us mostly aroma at this stage and a little bit of flavor. It's just a general kind of low level. You would notice if it's not there, but you can't pick it out by itself.
Okay, so
Kind of
it's
a
support character.
right, yeah. This is like the bay leaf of stew in
I love
Wallace.
that terminology. The best phrase I ever heard in my life was, "While most spices shout, bay leaf whispers." That was my favorite quote about bay leaf ever.
Yeah, no, you would notice it's not there, but you'd have a hard time kind of putting your finger on what's missing. This is mostly
Even if
for,
it's there.
right, it's an aroma thing, it's a little bit of a flavor thing. It's not going to give you a lot more bitterness, but it's going to give you a little more bitterness. And this is mainly just to round it out and make it more pleasant and give it a little extra character.
Okay.
So at that point, we've got this boil that we've been doing for an hour. We've got this hoppy wort, the beer mixture made, and we're going to cool this. The easiest way to cool this, the fastest way to cool this, is to use a wort chiller. But I realize people that are making mostly mead and not necessarily a lot of beer might not have access to that, especially if you're just doing like the 3 gallon pot on your kitchen hob, and you're using the dry malt extract for the bulk of the fermentables here.
Don't worry, we're going to get into the mead part of this in a little bit later, but keep
Right.
going with what you're doing.
Filling the kitchen sink with an ice water bath that's not going to spill over into your pot, and then putting your pot into that ice water bath for a half an hour, maybe with a lid covering it, hopefully with a lid covering it just in case. That's a perfectly reasonable way to handle chilling it out.
Okay.
We want to get our temperature down to about 70 degrees
That's a
because
big drop.
it is a big drop. It's going to take some time. That's why you want to use an ice water bath
Yeah, gotcha.
if you don't have a wort chiller. And there are a bunch of different wort chillers on the market. There are also a bunch of podcasts and YouTube commentary tracks on making beer that they probably know and can tell you a lot more about that than I can. So,
Sink of ice, got
right.
it. See, icy water.
Yeah, look for the better qualified people to give you the information you need on that particular part. But once you've got it chilled down to about 70 degrees, they're going to add two different things. We're going to add honey, and in this case, I would suggest a Bochet honey, or a Melter honey, which is usually Melter honey is marketed. I know a couple of different beekeepers that market it this way now. They In the process of harvesting the honey, they have like a hot knife. It's a knife they plug in that is hot enough to melt the wax caps.
I've
And
seen this.
those caps will fall into like a bucket or a tub or, tote or something they collect it in. Those caps have some honey in them. They have a lot of wax in them. They need to separate the two. And the way they separate the two is heating it up and then letting it cool down because they
So the
will
maximum
form
right to the
layers.
top.
Right. The wax is lighter in density, I guess. And so it will float and then it'll solidify. So they can take that wax cap. Whoop, and they've got honey. But in the process of heating it, that honey gets a little caramelized. And usually what they're
Oh
going to do,
no, not caramelized honey.
well, and they can't sell that to people that just want a little bit of wildflower honey to add in their tea. But for mead makers that,
Are they looking for a buyer? I mean, I've got my
well,
hand up here. That'd be awesome.
there's a couple different guys that are offering it like that. And you get a little bit of a discount for it too, because there's a limited market for it compared to regular honey.
Okay,
So
fair enough.
yeah, the Melter honey is a good option there if you can find it. Otherwise, just Bochet some honey. We're going to go a little high on the ABV on this one because this is going to be a heavyweight. Now,
How high?
well, here's the trick. When we finish our beer part of this that we're going to add the honey to, we're looking for a target ABV of 1.065.
That's really, what is one's, how high would that be?
I think that's in the 7 to 8% range, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, let's see here.
But here's the thing you need to understand. Grains are not going to give you a full fermentation.
Okay. Describe, explain that.
Especially after you've heated those sugars in the grains, not all of them are fermentable. When we talk about a target ABV for mead, We're assuming when we do the ABV math there that our finished gravity is going to be
All right, and 1670.
1065.
1065. Looking at, well, about 7%.
Well, if you adjust the final gravity to 100, that's 8.5%. But here's the trick. Those aren't going to ferment to 1.000. They're going to prevent, we're targeting, based on this recipe, a final gravity for the beer of 1.015, which actually equates to, if the computer loads, it's 6.5%.
Okay.
Way different, right?
Oh yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. So we're going to assume a 15 point final gravity that's just going to be those residual sugars that won't ferment from the grain.
Okay.
That said, when we're adding the honey, we're going to target gravity 1.095
That's 12%.
with the understanding that that 0.5 or 0.015 is going to not ferment. So
Okay.
that's basically what we're saying is our target gravity at the end of the day is actually 1080, but we're going to understand that there's also a 15 points of unfermentable sugars in there too, added to the mix.
Okay.
So this is going to be a 10%.
That's a lot of science.
Math.
Yeah, it's a lot of math, but well, I like math, but
Luckily, I did the math before I started drinking, so this should be pretty solid.
well, good. Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to target gravity for our mead here once we're adding the honey, and we've got the unfermentable sugars we're already aware of and planning for ahead of time, is going to be 1095.
Okay.
Our yeast here, we're going to use Omega Scottish Ale.
This
Scottish
is,
Ale.
these are beer yeast,
Yes,
so.
this is a beer yeast. This is made by Omega. Scottish ale is one of the stronger beer yeast, so it actually has an alcohol tolerance of 10%, which is exactly what we're
Yeah,
aiming for here.
that's what you said.
Right. And it has a flavor profile that is, it plays nicely with malt character. We might want to go for more of a like a British ale kind of a thing for a stout, but I think Scotch ale is the way to go. In this case, just because it is A, more alcohol tolerant than a basic British ale by a little bit, and B, there's a lot of malt going into this that we're going to play other flavors with. So, if you can't find Scottish ale, the British one is also, I think, fairly alcohol tolerant, but it's a little bit more crisp in flavor as opposed to the rounded kind of malty character you get from the Scotch. And you could also play with other options like SO4 from Fermentis or other British ale yeast as well, depending on what your local homebrew store has. So, beyond that, we're going to do our standard fermentation for a mead, even though this is a beer and there are some different rules that change. But this is a very high ABV, beer mead hybrid. So we're going to do degassing twice a day. We're going to add nutrients, even though there's a lot of nutrient in that grain. There's also a lot of honey that does not have nutrients in it at all. So basically, I did the nutrient calculation and cut it in half as a rough estimate. We're going to do four additions as usual, 5.5 grams each. This is for a 5 gallon batch because this is
24,
a beer.
48, 72, and at one third.
One-third sugar break, which in this case, we're going to call it the one-third sugar break at 163 or 1063. We're assuming that part of those sugars aren't going to be fermented out, but it'll be okay. We've
Okay.
also got, like I said, a lot of nutrient in that in the grain itself. We might not even need the nutrient, but it's better to have it and not need it than need it.
If you have it and don't use it, what does it change a thing?
You can get some weird metallic flavors we talked about in like the mead false recipe. If you've got a lot of residual nutrient that aren't being used up, you'll get metallic or weird kind of flavors from that. You shouldn't overdo your nutrient amounts, but at the end of the day, we're talking about a 5 gallon batch and we're putting 1.1 grams per gallon in per
So it's
feeding.
not going to make a huge difference here.
It shouldn't be noticeable even if the yeast don't get a chance to use it. No. And basically, like we know from anything else, yeast go for low-hanging fruit. The first thing they're going to ferment are the simple glucose and fructose in our honey, as opposed to the more complicated sugar structures in the beer grains anyway. So yeah, I think the amount of nutrient we're putting in here is going to be negligible at the end of the day.
Okay. So you shouldn't even taste the metallic notes.
Yeah, no, you should not taste anything like that. We're not putting a lot of nutrient in there. It's a supplement, really, for the additional alcohol created by the honey.
Okay, fair enough.
The other thing we can think about here is what's called brew house efficiency, because, like I said, our target gravity for this beer part is 1065, and our target gravity for the Bragg combined is 1095. The efficiency side of this can be problematic, though, especially me as a brewer, like using a single barrel system. Sometimes you don't get effectively what they call the ideal is 75% efficiency. Basically, 75% of the available sugars get transferred into the liquid part,
okay,
which would yield that 0.065. Sometimes I'll come in, 5 to 10 points lower. The advantage of using honey here is we can cheat that.
Okay.
So if I come in at 1055 and 10 instead of 1065, I'm still getting to 1095. It's just taking more honey to do that.
Okay, so that's fair.
Again, the nutrient is that much more important, though, because it's a little bit extra of that sugar that does not have the nutrient behind it from the grain.
Okay, gotcha.
Makes sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So since we're using an omega yeast instead of like a dried yeast, we don't need to worry about GoFirm. It's already in a liquid state.
Mm-hmm.
We may want to consider making a yeast starter for this, because this is on the high end of for what a beer yeast can handle. It wouldn't hurt to have a good, healthy colony. But I think generally omega is pretty good about, having a good package colony size in their yeast. So I'm not too worried about it. But, you go to Bacchus, you get a pack of Omega yeast. You can also get a pack of their proper, which is basically like a 16-ounce can of the yeast starter that you just mix together with the yeast and let sit overnight the day before you brew. You're going to have a much bigger colony that'll be able to tackle this brew that much faster.
All right.
Again, we're going to follow basic procedures for this. So, again, 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, and the one-third sugar break. After that airlock activity, we're going to feed the nutrients for the first week. We're going to degas twice a day because this is a lot for our beer yeast to handle. But once we get to that secondary phase, then things start getting interesting. Then things are going to get a little weird. We're going to add our Christmas flavors.
Yeah, here's where the rubber meets the road, in my opinion.
Here's the first the first part of these Christmas flavors is not as controversial. It's more fun and experimental. We're going to get a pound of dried figs and a pound of dried dates. We're going to do a rough chop. We want to get, surface area. We want to
surface area is important.
Yeah, and we're going to put those in a mesh bag, and we're going to let those sit. I would estimate, give it a week or two.
Okay.
Taste it, every other day at least, and see where you're at. If you get it 2 weeks and you're not quite at the flavor you want, I don't know how much dried fig and dried date is enough to get past all the roasty character in the grain.
Just so, because I have the 2 week mindset, replace right. them.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not where you want to be with that flavor after 2 weeks, get another pound of each and put fresh stuff in to add to it, rather than let it sit and get all the additional notes it might get out of something that's been sitting there for a while. We want the dried fig. We want the dried dates. We might even throw raisins in there if we feel like it. This is my recipe, the way I'm going to do it. If you want to add the raisins, go for it. Cool.
I never thought you'd say that.
Well, what I'm giving you is a guideline in the way I want to do it. We had the previous Chris that hosted this show had a soapbox moment at one point that said, well, somebody took a recipe that I published and they said they did this and they did this and they did this and asked why it didn't work. Because you did this and this and this, you deviated from the recipe. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't care if you deviate from my recipes, but understand that if you deviate from my recipes, you're going to deviate from my results too.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the long and short of that when you take that on.
Fair enough. But you can do it.
Yes. You can do whatever the hell you want with the advice I'm giving you because I'm just giving you advice.
Yeah.
I'm obviously, I don't own a meadery. I'm not a professional at this. I have done a little bit of consulting work an age and
We've
a day
actually
ago.
given our own personal recipes to people on the show.
Yes, we've given our recipes to the show. I've sold a couple of mead recipes, like professionally, at one point in time, but this is not my day job. This is just something I do for fun because this is what I do for fun. Get the flavor you want out of the figs
And
and
dates.
dates.
Okay.
Pull those. Then we're going to add some nuts. And I like hazelnuts for this idea for this.
Hazelnuts are among my favorite nuts, I'll be honest.
Yes. The hazelnut flavor, you tell me something is hazelnut flavored and I will try it.
Yeah, no, that's.
Just flat out. Whether that's a coffee or a cake or what have you, if you tell me there's hazelnut in it, I'm at least going to try it because it is one of
It's
my,
hazelnut.
it's one of the most beautiful nuts in the world. So what we're going to do, we're going to get these hazelnuts. We're going to get a pound of hazelnuts. This is all, I'm starting with a pound just because a pound is a good even number. It might take more, much like the figs and the dates, right? But we're going to start with a pound of hazelnuts. We're going to rough chop those, and then we're going to roast those in the oven.
Okay.
And I don't have a firm timeline for how long you should roast them, but use the smell, the color, and the flavor of them
It shouldn't turn
as your guide.
black. Other than that, it's up to you.
Sure, it's kind of a much like back sweetening. This is a dealer's choice. You determine your own level of engagement with this kind of
Yeah.
thing, right? But once we've got those to the level of roastiness we want, we're going to pull those from the oven. Before they cool down, we're going to get a brown paper bag.
Okay.
We're going to pour them into a brown paper bag and we're going to shake the bejesus out of them.
For what reason?
Brown paper bags are absorbent.
Okay,
That
for.
oil that is now more viscous and fluid and move to the surface or easier to move to the surface, we're going to collect a lot of that on the bag
Okay,
in the
fair.
process of shaking it. There was a really early episode of The Simpsons, like in one of the first seasons, where Homer was trying to, like, I think he was trying to gain weight to get on disability or something.
Okay.
And the schlocky, like, fake doctor was like, "Oh, well, you should focus on like greasy fast food. See this paper bag? It gets clear as you rub the chicken on it. That's your window to weight gain." Like, the idea that oil soaks into the bag and gets all like saturated there, the oil that gets soaked into the paper bag is oil you don't have to deal with getting rancid later.
More than fair.
So
Now, just for sake of argument, what if we want to use chestnuts or walnuts or any other kind of
I think that's fine.
Same thing.
Yeah, the idea is the same. All of those are nuts, meaning they have a meaty protein structure with an oily base that can go rancid. I think the same. They may not have the same amount or the same flavor profile specifically, but you want to get those warm enough that the oil flows easily. You want them rough chopped,
And then
and
shake
then
them in a bag.
shake them in a bag to get as much of the excess oil as you can off. There are a couple different ways we can go from here to approach the same idea of adding nutty flavors to meat. You could get them in a, once you've got the bulk of the extra oil off the surface, you could just put them in a mesh bag, stick them in your mead, let it go, and hope for the best.
Or.
You probably have a little bit of oil on the surface, and you might need to like take a slotted spoon or something to skim it. But be aware, be mindful, and be watchful as you're doing this, and it could work. The other option is to take basically a page out of your book with the peanut butter, rather than using PB2. We just take that the rough chopped roasted nuts, put them in a jar with some grain alcohol, that 80% stuff you used, 50% by volume of the roast nuts to fill the jar with the grain alcohol, any space remaining, let that sit for a while and make a tincture the same way you did with the
And
PB2.
then strain it out because you're not going to get the oily notes left in there.
Right.
Yeah.
You could put it in the fridge or the freezer and those oily, the oils in the peanuts,
We'll go
I
to the top and solidify. You just literally scoop it
scoop it
off with a
out.
spoon. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's another approach to take. And realistically, if you do a thorough enough job with the brown paper bag, you may not even have that much to worry about in the first place on the surface of those nuts to get
Right, the oil
rancid.
of the nuts are the enemy, effectively. They can make
Right,
things
right,
go
right.
bad fast.
Realistically, another way we could hypothesize this, the rancidness takes time, right? So we could go, if we want a pronounced hazelnut flavor, we could increase the amount to like 3 pounds, 5 pounds. We could go nuts with this and just severely shackle wrist.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll show myself out later.
For those of you playing the drinking game at home, I said, shut up, Chris, so it's time to finish your glass.
Yes.
point I was trying to make.
While sitting. Go ahead.
The point I was trying to make is that, you know, we can increase the amount of volume that we're putting in here and decrease the contact time. So if we put 5 pounds of hazelnuts in for a day, we're probably going to get a pronounced hazelnut flavor from that compared to a pound for a week, right?
Yeah.
And
seems reasonable.
If the amount of time it takes for that to go rancid is more pronounced, well, that's just the easier way to do it. Granted, doing 5 pounds of hazelnuts costs five times as much as doing 8 pound of hazelnuts.
So pick your personal path.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how to do this. I'm speculating as I'm getting started here. And this is definitely a secondary, or in the case of the nuts, basically like a right before finishing step.
So you're talking about dates,
figs
and hazelnuts.
Right.
For a braggot beer mead.
Right. In addition to, this is a stout mead. So this is going to have a lot of, there's going to be roasty notes. There's going to be like a dark chocolatey kind of a vibe to it. Note, maybe a little bit of coffee character, but I didn't use coffee specific grains.
Mm-hmm.
There's dark roasty notes in addition to the fig and the date and the hazelnut. I think they're going to play all nicely together. And this is going to be a very complicated brew in a flavor profile way. So the other thing we have to think about here, unfortunately, for those of you that are kind of just getting new to beer, this does not lend itself well to bottle conditioning.
So what's the option here? Is it barrel conditioning or bottle conditioning?
Well, bottle conditioning, meaning you carbonate it in the bottle with residual sugar.
Okay.
Or the little sugar tablet things. In this case, because we're pushing that... That Scotch ale yeast to its alcohol tolerance before we get to the end, it just doesn't have the tolerance to make carbonation after we bottle
it. So you need to carbonate it in like a keg or something.
Afterwards. Right. We're going to force carbonate this. Okay. So this is either going to be a keg carbonation, or we could use like those, the little stainless steel carb caps I was talking about, that essentially it's like a keg connector on the screw top for a 2 liter bottle. And
I use a Soda Stream type thing.
More or less.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Same concept. Smaller volume, but we're carbonating one way or the other. And basically, you know, I would suggest a keg if you want to do like little, you know, individual growlers and then refill those as needed. Cool too. But yeah, that's the way I would approach this.
Okay.
But this is also, it's mimicking a stout, so this is a lower carbonation level than like a lager or even a standard ale, but not that much lower. So, you know, we talk about 2 volumes of CO2. It's a light carbonation.
Okay, that's good. Now, on the other side of things, now is that the end of your spirit that you do for this particular Christmas stout?
Right. That's the end of my spiel here. You could throw in basic stuff like fining, filtering, and like if you need to back sweeten it later, go for it. But
A beer. How much can it back sweeten it?
It's a beer with figs and hazelnuts and dates and all kinds of like stuff going into it. I don't
actually awesome flavors.
I don't think you need a lot of extra sweetness to it. But if it at this point you could stabilize and back sweeten if those flavors aren't, you know, the right level of sweetness for you, because you're going to do the forced carbonation anyway. You don't really have anything stopping you there, or that's going to throw a wrench in your gear as far as the flavor profile goes.
Okay, so that's our, what'd you call it, the Christmas fairy?
That's the Mead House Sugar Plum Fairy Bracket.
Sugar Plum Fairy Bracket. Okay, that will be on our website. Now, as far as mead goes, because I'm going to step it back to me, because that's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not a beaten beer guy for a lot of reasons. One of which is I like gingerbread.
Gingerbread is nice.
Ginger and the brown sugar flavor in gingerbread is so easy to add to a meat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, get a few fingers of ginger, sliced thin, throw it in there with, you can either use Armani, what is the name of that?
Amaretti. Yeah.
Or even actual brown sugar in a bag to kind of flavor it in there. Look for the molasses flavor.
Yeah, yeah. And you could add molasses, you could add brown sugar. Adding a small amount for flavor, I don't think is nearly the cheat as adding like basically as much or a little bit more sugar as honey to get the alcohol up without spending a ton on honey that I've seen a number of people on Facebook do. Shake it a fist, shake it a fist.
Shaking a fist. But candy cane, if you're looking for a candy cane flavor, that's simply spearmint, guys. Add a little spearmint, either the leaf itself or the extract of spearmint, you can get at any store. I've never gone to a store that you cannot get an extract from, like vanilla and such, that have spearmint.
That said, the one time I met Garrett from Man Made Meat on YouTube, he came to our first Iron Bee. Like, he didn't tell us he was coming. He just showed up. And I was like, "You're that guy on that YouTube." Like, "Yeah, you're that guy on that podcast." Yeah, well, I entered a mead. Oh, cool. Here's he made a cotton candy mead from cotton candies.
And not I how what I'm
When a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Halloween,
yeah
same idea.
the hard candy.
Yeah, he unwrapped like 80 candy canes, put them in a pot with some water, boiled them until they dissolved, and then made a mead out of it.
Okay, there you go. I
It
mean,
wasn't bad. I'm not a big mint fan in the first place. You have to mint's kind of like mint's one of those things that for me you have to have a light hand with, and it has to be a secondary flavor and not a primary flavor. But as a primary flavor in a mead, it wasn't bad at all. Pretty good.
okay, now one thing I love about Christmas is eggnog. It is a wonderful thing. Now, first thing you know, if it's a creamy thing, you're probably going to want to put lactic powder in it,
Lactose.
lactose in it. But
Lactic acid is very different.
and you don't want to put that either, trust me. Lactose, you won't put lactose powder in it, but its flavors are nutmeg, cinnamon, and clove, and vanilla. If you remember what we did before with the pumpkin, not dissimilar.
No,
But you
this.
put that in with the vanilla, the cloves, the cinnamon, nutmeg, and you put a little lactose in with it. I mean, a little is relative because you actually put a lot of lactose in with these things to make them creamy.
Yeah, if you're wanting a very creamy mead, lactose is the way to go, and lactose is a sugar, but lactose is not a sugar that a yeast can digest.
Yeah.
So,
You're going to get the creaminess mouthfeel. You're not going to be.
thickness of body, and yeah,
Yeah.
there's more to it than just
Than just the milk.
right. The other thing you could do, you could think about steeping some flaked grains, like flaked oats, flaked wheat, flaked whatever, in hot water in your what will be your wort before you make it. It's just a little an extra nudge in that right direction for adding a little bit of body and mouthfeel. The flaked oats, they I've said it before, I'll say it again for people that haven't been listening like week after week. Basically, when they're making flaked oats, which is the same stuff as like old-fashioned oatmeal, they push the grains through two hot rollers to make them flat, and that heat of the two rollers not only changes the shape of them, but it also changes some of the sugar content and makes it not fermentable. The not fermentable sugars, we use 2 pounds of non-fermentable sugars in that Braga recipe that I just talked about for that same purpose, to give us a little bit more mouthfeel and a little bit more of that. It's not exactly creamy, but it's kind of full and thick. It gives it that a little bit more like body and leg to it that is appreciable in this case. And I think you could do that in a mead with just your base water before you add the honey. Just steep in some of those flaked grains, and you'd probably get some of that same effect from it. It'd be worth a try at the
Yeah,
very
it looks
least.
really worth trying. Now, the other one I want to point out, a lot very popular thing about Christmas time is peppermint bark. This is peppermint extract of whichever way you want to do it in the store, you want to make it yourself, whatever, and lactose. If you're looking for the milky chocolate flavor, chalky chocolate thing of peppermint bark, which is a white chocolate.
Right.
You can put a little bit of cacao nib and a little bit of lact, and you put your lactose in with the peppermint, and you're likely to get a very peppermint bark flavor, which sounds good to me, to be honest.
I would probably throw some vanilla in there just for the sake of, vanilla
Vanilla
plays.
doesn't hurt my feelings.
It plays nice with all those flavors, really.
But if you're looking for like hazelnut, milk, nutmeg, things like that, or chestnuts, do the same thing Jeff says, chop them up, shake them in the bag. Do what you're going to do there, or use a flavoring from Amoretti. They have those. I've seen them.
Well, and talking about flavorings, there's another thing that if you're a kid and you're in the Midwest or anywhere it snows, What is the one flavor you associate with Christmas break? Not just, Christmas cookies, but that whole break from, the week before Christmas to like the week after New Year's or wherever we have off of school. And you get to be home and run around and play and go out and, make a snow fort with your friends and to get into a snowball fight. You come home and you have
Hot chocolate.
hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate. There are so many ways we can run this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the one Jeff and I talked about before this show started was Mexican hot chocolate.
Right. The idea of let's just for a base, as an idea, hot chocolate for a mead. Obviously, we could serve it hot if we want to. That might get rid of some of the alcohol content. Dealer's choice there. I'm not of the opinion that we need to go that far, but I think the idea of making a chocolate mead with a good amount of cacao nib and some lactose,
And vanilla, sugar, and chili.
chili is a maybe if we want to do the Mexican side, but I think hell, if you just use like the vanilla and the cacao nib and those flavors to make the hot chocolate mead,
And
you
cinnamon, gotta have cinnamon.
cinnamon is a good addition too. I'm not sure it's required in my household, but it is definitely a good addition. We can even go to Amaretti, like you mentioned. They have marshmallow fluff extract kind of
Yeah,
stuff to add a
it's.
marshmallow flavor to
And I've
that.
never tried it, but I want to,
Right,
just
yeah.
because of myself.
I tried that in a white stout that I did years and years ago and was pleasantly surprised by the amount of marshmallow flavor that I got from just a little 4 ounce jar of their extract in a 5 gallon batch.
If you okay, if you want to do hot chocolate, you can do the cocoa nibs, the lactose, and
Vanilla,
vanilla.
maybe cinnamon.
Maybe cinnamon or maybe not. Or if you want to go to the Mexican hot cocoa, add the cinnamon and vanilla and chili.
Right. And this is again dealer's choice on chili. I think you can go to like the supermarket and get like a lower spice level, like a huajillo, I think is a fairly it's a dry smoked, fairly low heat chili. Or you could go something a lot hotter, and this is kind of your own tolerance level, much like back sweetening, right? Add enough that you feel you get a I think kind of like that trick or treat mead that I shared back in the Halloween in September thing. I would personally look for just a little tingle in the aftertaste, just a little something to say,
And you can do that.
hey, how you doing? But if you want to do like, hey, here is a thick, high ABV, chocolate and lactose heavy mead that's also going to punch you in the face and take your wallet with the capsaicin later.
And if you like your hot chocolate with marshmallow, you already know that Amaretti has that in it.
And for all I know, I haven't looked, but Amaretti may have just like a hot chocolate flavor profile too. It would not surprise me at all if they do. And now Chris is going to look because that's what Chris does while I throw out ideas. And
Because somebody has to have these.
yeah, hot chocolate compound, hot chocolate liqueur concentrate, hot chocolate extract, water soluble, hot chocolate edible perfume spray, if it needs a little bit more of the aroma, hot ch white hot chocolate sauce, milk chocolate sauce, dark chocolate syrup, dark chocolate gourmet syrup. So this is above and beyond the hot chocolate into all kinds of different
Yeah,
chocolates that search
and
reserve
if you
resort bed.
and my what my shop daughter will tell you, if you want to bring up the flavor of chocolate, add a little bit of chili powder. You can be any kind of chili, anything, but that little bit of heat raises the chocolate, and that's what you'll taste more than anything
We
else.
talked a little bit about the different grains we're putting into that stout that I talked about. And the other thing that I mentioned was not specifically in there, but you might get a little notes of from those grains. From what I've heard, a small amount of like instant coffee into chocolate really enhances chocolate flavor.
And there you go. I mean,
Yeah.
make yourself a
Half a
hot.
teaspoon of like the Folgers instant coffee mix or the Taster's Choice or whatever. You choose your own level of like buy-in here, but that'll just enhance that coffee profile. Not coffee, that'll just enhance that chocolate profile that much more, I'm told. So
There you go. I mean, you want Mexican hot chocolate? You want American hot chocolate? You want with marshmallows? It's right there, man.
oh yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to use a Amaretti flavoring, which I don't know why you wouldn't, because they use the natural ingredients to make their flavoring, you can actually you back sweeten with meadow foam honey, and
Yeah,
that's going to make marshmallow.
that's a marshmallow. That's close enough, if not like absolutely exact. Yeah. And then, you You might not put cinnamon in this up front, but if you're a particularly brave, I could also see, throw a gallon of this in a like a crock pot on low and steep it with some cinnamon or some other like, fall spices, and then serve it in mugs with actual marshmallows as a mulled meat. That's also
And
volatile.
they, I mean, come on, guys.
The list continues to grow, and
And
we're just getting ourselves into trouble week after week here for your benefit.
I don't feel bad about this list, man. I really don't. But there you go. But we talked about cocktail once upon a time. I'm going to talk with Jeff about doing that in a future episode.
Yeah, we need to do that. We definitely need to do
Because
that.
that just sounds fun, I'll be honest.
Yeah. I mean, and how do we want to approach that? Do we want to like come up with some recipes off the top of our head and share those with each other, maybe one or two each? Or do we want to just fiddle around with a bunch of bottles and see what we come up with?
I'm thinking I'm going to take this table we have here with us, and I'm going to put a whole bunch of ingredients stuff we can mix together and see what we can come up with.
Either of these options sounds entertaining as hell. And I think the other one is
It's going to be
probably
really tough to push the stop button at the end. At the end,
right.
but
I feel like this might be, and let us know on Facebook or info at themeathouse.com if you want to see the outtakes of that episode where we spend 3 hours fiddling around with a bunch of bottles and getting hammered trying to come up with a solid recipe or two for mead cocktails that we're going to share with you in the 1 hour Mead House episode.
Yeah, because I went through the International Bartending Institute program. I'm unqualified for this particular branch of it. And my daughter's a chef. I'm not sure she's ready for this, but here we go.
I've not been through the international bartending program, but I have been down several aisles of my local liquor store and been very adventurous in my pours. So I'm staggeringly unqualified and eager to try this.
Yeah. It's not that we deserve this, but we will do this for you, okay? No, we're doing this
Depending
for
on the
us.
results, we may exactly deserve this.
Yeah, I can hear that, bro. Yeah, we have a couple more episodes ready for on a paper for us to do in the future episodes, guys. I hope you appreciate where we're the abuse we put in our bodies for you. But honestly,
Not to
we don't
mention
mind.
our white matter upstairs, because oh, these ideas, these we just we spent an hour like riffing on a few ideas that we came up with and like going in directions that are pretty awesome
Yeah,
and
it's great.
need to be tried.
And our wives will be mad at us, but we don't, we'll deal with it there. Jeff,
Cheers.
cheers.
Good night.
Have a good day. Good meeting to you all.